It does seem like we're going to keep growing for a long time. I've heard, you know, estimates that our MSA here around Austin and Travis County and Williamson County, that population will grow to something like 5 million people. Mm. And that
hard to believe, hard to fathom.
It is, I think, by like 2050. And if you add in Bexar County, then that sort of super region would be like 8 million people, which is astounding.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast, where we have on-the-record conversations with local leaders who tell us what's going on in our community and help make us a little bit smarter. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I have the privilege of serving as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And today it is my distinct honor and privilege to be able to talk to Travis County Judge Andy Brown. Judge Brown has been the judge of Travis County since 2020. And today we're going to talk about issues related to childcare. We're going to talk about mental health and how the county's big plans around addressing mental health and a diversion center will help create pathways for hundreds, thousands of our residents to have better jobs here in the community. And we're going to talk about what his vision is for the future of a super region with Bexar County and what it's going to take to get there. So stay tuned. Look forward to having you come along on this ride with us. Judge, thanks for being here.
Can't wait. Let's get going.
I actually want to start with a personal question for you. Because we're Workforce Solutions and we focus on jobs and work, we all had to start somewhere. Even you, I presume you didn't just wake up and become a judge one day. So would you mind telling us what was your very first job?
Yeah, so I grew up in Hyde Park. I currently live with my wife and two kids next door to the house I grew up in.
Really?
My mom still lives there, so I haven't gone too far in life. But my first job was just down the street at Fresh Plus, which I think was still called Fresh Plus then, but I was a cashier there. And that was before, you know, had to type things into the cash register and all that stuff. But it was a great job, you know, pretty low stress, enjoyed it. And then I moved into the restaurant industry and became a dishwasher, a busser, and eventually waited tables at this place called the Majestic Diner, which used to be on Barton Springs Road. And the folks that I worked with at the Majestic Diner for those couple of years have really gone on to some amazing things, like Bruce Robinson, who's a singer-songwriter here in Austin.
You worked with him?
Worked with him.
Oh, wow.
Worked with the guy who writes the Texanist at the back page of Texas Monthly. A lot of musicians worked in the kitchen then. Bruce's brother Charlie worked back there too. It was just such a great experience and really fun to see how where everybody has ended up after that.
What did you learn from those early experiences?
I learned that being a dishwasher is, I think, that's the hardest job I've ever had. It was so demanding. Some of the guys who had worked longer than I had there were starting to like lose their fingerprints and stuff like that. Like that was a rough job back then. I don't know if now they maybe give you gloves, but they didn't used to. But in a restaurant, just the interaction, you've got people who were doing that as careers. You got people who were doing that as summer jobs. And you really got to meet people from backgrounds, or I got to meet people from backgrounds that were different from mine in that job, and what it's like to work hourly and all the joys and tribulations that brings with it. I mean, we didn't at the time, at least, we didn't have, you know, health insurance or childcare, anything, or any benefits that I can remember, other than I think if you waited tables, you ended up with a pretty good hourly wage because of tips. And if you're in the kitchen, you would make a little bit more per hour but you wouldn't get tips back then, but you did get a free meal. So it was always a good deal.
I love that. And I love that you shared that the people that you worked with went on to become people just like you, whose careers took off in different areas, but you made connections that you had no idea when you were working in that kitchen that this, that Bruce Robinson would be this, this great singer that, that he is. So fantastic. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You, you and I have that in common. I actually, one of my first jobs was waiting tables as a waitress. And so I will tell you to this day, I'm a pretty good tipper because of that experience.
Yeah, totally. That, I think, shaped my life. And I remember even at the time influencing my parents whenever we would go out to eat, of getting them to tip a little more maybe than they would have otherwise. And yeah, you recognize that it really can make or break somebody's shift if you're a good tipper or not.
Yeah, yeah. And how much the people in at the front of the house and back of the house, the restaurant, depend on that too. So thank you for sharing that story. I'd like to pivot a little and talk about childcare. It's on everyone's lips these days. People around the community, really around the country, are talking about childcare. But here in Travis County, you have made it a big part of your advocacy to advance childcare, childcare access, childcare quality. Can you talk a little bit about that? What are you focused on now and what are you excited about when it comes to childcare?
I've been county judge since 2020, so I guess almost 4 years now. And we've always kind of focused on how to improve the situation of workers. I think we kind of started with the county trying to expand parental leave and expand the minimum wage that we pay to the county. And we've done that. Still working on other things to make the life for county workers better. And one of the big things that we've noticed working with you, Tamara, over the years is that there are a lot of people that would like to enter our workforce or maybe would go from part-time to full-time or something like that if they had better childcare. You know, I've got two kids that are 7 and 9, and my wife and I fortunately were able to pay for childcare, but it was a large expense.
Sure.
You know, every month that we had a kid and then two kids, and especially in the early years, was not cheap. And so I want to make that a possibility for everybody who lives here in Travis County and who raises kids here, to make it so that they can afford it and that they can work if they choose to. And I know we've made, with Workforce Solutions, the county has made big investments over the years with annual funding for what y'all do to provide childcare when you're doing job training or job placement.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think right now that's about $1.7 million a year, what we're up to there. And then fortunately, thanks to President Biden, we were able to get a lot of money locally for pandemic relief. And that meant, I think so far, about $4.5 million that we've given to y'all. Hopefully maybe a little bit more will go that direction for childcare here through Workforce Solutions. And then I know President Biden has made other investments too, because one thing that we saw through the pandemic was a lot of these smaller childcare providers in particular went out of business because of all the difficulties of COVID and all of that. Biden did invest to keep more from going out of business, but that funding is coming to an end, I think, this year. A lot of it is ending this year. So what we've got is not enough childcare providers in the community and a long wait list for people who want to go to those childcare providers. Some, I've heard that we have something like a 24-month wait list for childcare.
I can confirm that. That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, paying for it once you get in is also an issue for a lot of people here in Travis County. And the disadvantage of that is that because of all the good work you're doing, a lot of other big companies and small companies that are hiring people and doing well here locally aren't able to hire everybody that they want to because there just aren't enough folks in the workforce, especially as we look over the next 10 years. And so we passed as a commissioner's court a TRE to put on the ballot in November. And so what that would do is, my understanding is, pretty much eliminate that wait list that is now several thousand families deep for affordable, high-quality childcare. It would help stabilize the number of childcare providers that we have and hopefully increase them too. And so the way that that would work is, like, if you're a childcare provider that, say, you have like slots for 10 kids today, if this goes as planned, it would let that person know that they could guarantee another 5 or 10 slots because of this new funding. So they would staff up and hire more childcare providers. And then the result of that would be not only more kids getting off of that wait list into childcare, more families being able to do job training and go back to work, but it would increase our supply of childcare providers in the county. And so that is a big priority of mine. I know that a lot of folks in the city, the mayor, Allison Alter and others have worked a lot on this. In the private sector, Kathy McHorse and United Way and a lot of others have put a lot into this. And we've seen it work well in other counties across the U.S. And so we're hopeful that the voters will pass that in November and invest in affordable, high-quality childcare for folks that live here in Travis County.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
At Workforce Solutions, we're big believers in the power of childcare to transform families' lives and help workers, parents get into the workforce and set up children for education longer in life. And I'm also a parent of a child that went through Austin schools, as you are. But imagine you're talking to someone in Travis County that says, all right, so there's this ballot measure. It's maybe going to provide childcare for other people, but I don't have children anymore. Like, why should I care about this? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, that's a fair question. We've got a lot of really talented people in our workforce here. I think that attracts a lot of companies to Travis mm-hmm. County and has helped this economy be really great for pretty much my whole lifetime here in Austin. What we're seeing, though, over the next 10 years and what, Tamara, we're trying to work on together is that there is still a lot of new jobs that are going to come here, a lot mm-hmm. of big projects that we're going to need to complete in Travis County. And we want that economy to keep flourishing. And if we don't have enough workers, then that economy will slow down. And I've, talked to a lot of companies when they're looking at Travis County or Austin to come here and locate. One of the things they look at is our workforce, how educated it is, how many there are, what the available workforce is. And we always want to require of those companies that are coming here that they hire a lot of people locally. Mm-hmm. To do any of that, to make that keep working, to attract companies here, to have a great economy, we have to be able to fill this workforce. And if we've got, what were you saying, 5,400 kids, which is about 5,000 families on a wait list right now for
yes.
childcare. That is, this year alone, that many families that can't enter the workforce because they can't get childcare or can't yeah. enter it to the degree they want to. And over the next 10 years, that number multiplies. And so what this bond will do is allow families who are wanting to get into the workforce but can't because of this long wait list for childcare providers or the fact that they can't afford it and they qualify under the affordability standards that we have or that they're just not a provider, it will help all of that. And by the community investing in that, we're investing in our economy. And that's going to come back to help us fund our public services, fund the police force, fund the emergency medical, the paramedics, fund the fire department, and make our economy continue to flourish. It'll fund our schools. Like we can't do any of this without a functioning, growing economy. And until we have great childcare options for everybody here in Travis County, we're really limiting our potential.
Yeah, I agree with you. Judge, at Workforce Solutions, we look at how well the parents do after they receive childcare partially funded by the county. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. And what we see is families that are able to receive some help, some relief from the childcare costs for a period of time. On average, they increase their annual earnings by almost $10,000 after their children exit care. So you are right. This is money in people's pockets so they can spend the money locally and the parents can work. Like it feels like a win-win when we're able to support our families with what they need. And it seems to me like we want families with young children to build a home here in Austin. So that sounds great. Anything else that you would want the listeners to know about what Travis County's up to when it comes to childcare or a message you would like to send to our community about this ballot initiative in the fall?
This is an investment in children here. It's an investment. If you have kids, you're going to be able to see the benefits of it. If you don't have kids, you're going to be able to see the benefits of it in continuing to grow our economy, continuing to attract companies here, and making sure that we have a well-trained, well-educated, and available workforce.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
I'd like to pivot a little bit because you mentioned workforce and people need supports. And you mentioned how many jobs we're creating. You mentioned a vibrant economy. So let's talk a little bit about your workforce priorities. The county's been a long time investor in workforce solutions for job training, career building. Thank you. You and Mayor Watson, co-chair, an infrastructure academy work group, like leadership group. So you're deeply invested and involved. As you think about where you would like workforce development in Travis County to go, what are some of your priorities in the this year and in the future around job training, career building?
Yeah, some of the things that I've been really impressed with, you know, ACC has the Make It Center mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. and just all the data that I've seen, you know, from you about how much people's incomes can go up when they get job training or continue in a new career path and get retrained for other ones. You know, with all the questions about artificial intelligence mm-hmm. and what jobs that could eliminate or change in the future, I think it's so important to have great job training so that people, you know, if they're, I don't know, some of the examples from the Make It Center, just like the air conditioning workers, HVAC workers, welders. I met a young person who had gone through the program for welding at ACC, and he was, I think, just out of high school and is already making, you know, a lot of money. I think he was making over $100,000 a year, some large amount of money.
A little bit more than you probably made as a dishwasher.
A little bit more, yeah. but it's just, when you really look at the benefits of job training and investing in our workforce, you see how it can pull people out of poverty, how it can get people into a stable path. And I love the fact that Travis County and the city of Austin together have mm-hmm. invested in that over the years and that we're continuing to do that today.
Yeah, thank you for that. And as I talk to my peers around the state and the country judge, and I ask my peers about how they work with their local government, we continue to stand out, Austin, Travis County, as an anomaly, but in the best possible way. You could say like top of the pyramid in terms of the investments that you and the city make in terms of workforce development. So thank you for that. You know, every year, hundreds, and then you aggregate that over a decade, thousands of people are able to get access to childcare and career training because of your commitment to that. So thank you very much for that. Let's talk a little bit about affordability and other aspects of affordability. I know you've spoken about some of the impediments to helping people be able to work in this community besides childcare. What would you like us to know about other things the county's doing to help make sure we have a ready supply of workers who can fill all these jobs our great economy's creating?
I think at the county level, again, we've got something like 5,400 people that work directly for Travis County and might not pay as well as the private sector in many of those cases, but we've got a very dedicated workforce of public servants, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that we're investing in them. So we raised the minimum wage up to $21 an hour, something like that today, from as low as 15 or I think even $13 just a couple of years ago. And what I think that has had good effects of raising wages, helping raise wages in the community, making sure that nobody's making below that amount in our community. One of the other things that we do that we're working on that maybe is a little bit, might seem a little bit more tangential to this, is the Mental Health Diversion Center.
Okay.
And what we see here in Travis County is that there are thousands of people every year that end up involved with the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. and they don't need to be. Mm-hmm. It's people who maybe have had a mental health breakdown of some sort, or maybe who just have an ongoing mental health need that could be remedied by a regular source of medication and a regular visits to the doctor or a social worker, and people just aren't getting that. And so as a result, right now we've got, you know, 2,400 people in our county jail. Somewhere around half of them, more than half, depending how you look at it, have a significant unmet mental health need. And those people, because they're involved in the justice system now, it's going to be harder for them to get a job when they get out because they have that record. Just being arrested, even for and in jail for a couple of days, can really, you can lose your job, you can lose your family, things like that. And so what we're trying to develop is a better system of mental health care and resources in the county so that people don't go down that path of being involved in the criminal justice system. And so what we've seen in places like Lubbock and in Arizona and Nashville and Miami is that they have a much more robust system of mental health resources than we do here in Austin and Travis County. And they have just a more comprehensive system. So the vision is that we're hopefully going to build something, could be at the state hospital on their land, could be at some other county land around the county. And it would be a place where if police pick you up, you could go there instead of jail. If really you have a significant unmet mental health need, EMS could take you there. You could walk in yourself. A family member could take you. It's something okay. we just don't have.
Yeah.
Is this no wrong door approach. And the idea is you would go there, you'd see a mental health professional, you'd get stabilized. And then with other investments that we're making in terms of building supportive housing in the community, you would leave the mental health diversion center. If you need a little bit more support still, when you're out in the community, you could move into one of these supportive housing environments that 11 different nonprofits are working on building today, and then re-enter the workforce. And it's a complicated system, and it's something that we haven't done yet in Travis County, even though, you know, in Lubbock, they opened their first one in 1994. So we're a little bit behind here in yeah. Travis County. But I think that too will have a big impact on getting people who, for one reason or another, leave the workforce or enter the criminal justice system because of their mental health needs, to have those needs met and live in Travis County with everybody else, work a job, get trained to work a better job. And hopefully that's what it will all work into. And it's a long process. I think the building it and the designing of it's going to take another few years. But at the same time, we've invested, you know, $110 million that we got from President Biden to build supportive housing and build affordable housing so that people will have a place to go after they leave the mental health diversion center.
So, Judge, I love what you were just saying about the diversion center and the ways that Travis County really sounds like it's a community of partners, providers, nonprofits that are kind of coming around our workers, our workforce, particularly some people who may be vulnerable at certain stages in their life. I imagine I can speak for myself, have had people in our lives at different times who've needed a little extra support. And so I love that. And it really ties into what Workforce Solutions believes, which is no worker left behind. Anyone who wants to work, we want to provide the right support so that they can stay in our community and grow in our community. But Judge, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that because we do have people that are moving outside of our community. Obviously, we still have a lot of people moving in, but increasingly, when I look at the data, Judge, I'm really seeing that Austin, Travis County, obviously, we're not just an island unto ourselves. We really share a lot of a workforce with our partners in the region, namely San Antonio. When I look at the data, we've got thousands of people every day driving up and down I-35 between San Antonio, Bexar County, and Travis County. Do you see the same thing? Do you think that the region is going to continue to get bigger? And then if you do, what are some of your priorities for ensuring that Travis County residents and Travis County businesses can connect to their regional partners?
It does seem like we're going to keep growing for a long time. I've heard, you know, estimates that our MSA here around Austin and Travis County and Williamson County, that population will grow to something like 5 million people. And that
hard to fathom.
It is. I think by like 2050. And if you add in Bexar County, then that sort of super region would be like 8 million people, which is astounding. Mm-hmm. And at present time, at least, despite the fact, you know, Travis County is often partnering with developers of homes to build more and more affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And we've built a lot over the last 3 years. More is being built every day, but it's still hard for some people to find a house that is affordable here in Austin or Travis County.
Sure.
And so people sometimes live in the outskirts, maybe San Marcos, maybe New Braunfels, but then they face I-35, which can be, you know, great if you drive at like 2 a.m. sometimes, but often it's unpredictable and just not a fun experience. And so we're looking at other ways. The one that I'm most interested in is more passenger rail.
Okay.
Especially if you grow to 8 million people in the super region, we are today and we'd be even worse then in terms of being two of the largest cities in the world that don't have good passenger rail connecting them and good commuter rail. Mm-hmm. And so really your only option is driving on 35. And over the next 10 years, they're going to be redoing I-35 in Austin and also in San Antonio. And I think that commute is just going to get worse for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And even after that, I don't think you can really build your way out of a congested highway. Based on the numbers that we've talked about, it's just going to keep filling up. And so I've seen studies that if we add great passenger commuter rail, that would take something like 25% of the traffic off of 35. So that would make it better for not only people like me that like to ride passenger rail and like that as a form of commute, but people that want to drive would have an easier time driving because there would be fewer people relatively on the road. And so what we're working, we formed this group of folks from Bexar County, Travis County, you know, Williamson County, Denton County, all around Texas that are interested in increased passenger rail infrastructure. And we're trying to take what we have today, which is we have one Amtrak that goes north, comes through Austin at about 9:30 each morning and heads up to Dallas-Fort Worth and then on to, you can make your way up to Chicago.
I think I've ridden that one before.
I love it. I've ridden it several times. And then on the way south, I think it comes in around 6 p.m. to Austin to head back to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took my son up to see the Rangers the other weekend and it was great. It was, I think it was $200 for that trip. And it came with a room, like a little bedroom. You got two meals. It was slated to be 4 hours, but it really ended up being 6 hours because there was freight trains that you had to slow down for. So it's just not a great system right now. It's, I love it, but it could be better. And so with this group that we've called TPRAC, the Texas Passenger Rail Coalition, something like that, that Bexar County Judge Sakai and I are co-chairing, and we're looking at different options. And the option that we're pushing the legislature to pursue is to take advantage of the Biden administration's offer to give us billions of dollars to develop our passenger rail infrastructure, but we have to match that with 20% of the cost. So we're asking the legislature to put in $300 million towards passenger rail expansion in Texas, and that would trigger, you know, a significant amount of money, over $1 billion or more from the federal government to help us. And I think the first step is probably adding more Amtraks to that line so that there's more trains each day. And I think TxDOT and others are talking about maybe adding two trains to start with and then hopefully more in the future. And then other than that, there are also private companies like there's a company called Brightline in Florida. Okay. And then there's also the high-speed folks that want to build one from Dallas to Houston and then eventually to Austin, whose name I'm blanking on right now, but they're partnering with Amtrak to try to make high-speed rail a reality in Texas. So I would like any and all of those options, especially between Austin and San Antonio, between Travis and Bexar County. I think it would improve our way of life, and I think it's an absolute necessity if we're going to grow as much as we are. And it would let you live in New Braunfels or San Marcos or Bexar County and work in Austin or vice versa. It would let you go see the Spurs play at night and come back on a train and not have to worry about driving. It would just make that commute better and I think improve our lives.
And improve safety, I can imagine. Every time I drive that route, I see an accident. And so it's, I love what you're saying. I love a train. When I go to other parts of the country or abroad, I'm always using public transportation. So I really like what you're saying because we have to have some transportation solutions to accommodate our workforce. So I suspect transportation rail would be on one of your answers to the question I'm about to ask you. But if you had a crystal ball and you could look 5 years in the future at a Travis County that is operating, functioning, looks like what you would envision. Like, what does Travis County look like 5 years from now if you could be wildly successful in everything you want to do?
Yeah, so we would have a robust mental health diversion center built. We'd have a small psychiatric hospital or crisis facility built. And so that there would no longer be the situation where you have people on the streets of Austin that police just don't want to pick up because there's no great place for them to go other than the jail, or EMS doesn't want to pick up because there's no great place for them to go. You wouldn't have people being picked up by police or EMS and then a couple days later be back in that same situation. You'd have people getting mental health support and being sort of funneled towards affordable housing or supportive housing. They'd be getting great job training here at Workforce Solutions and entering the workforce again. And I think Austin and Travis County in 5 years will look completely different than it does today because of if we are able to expand that mental health network. Hopefully in 5 years, we'll have more transportation options to San Antonio than we have today. Maybe it's Brightline, maybe it's Texas Central, the high-speed option, or maybe it's just increased Amtrak service. But we're going to be in 5 years, I think, about halfway through the construction of I-35 on Austin and San Antonio. So if we don't have more passenger rail by then, we're be in a difficult place. But we're also going to be a city and a county that has great childcare resources. Mm-hmm. We're going to have people, if they want to enter the workforce and they've just had a child, they would be able to find high quality, affordable childcare without a wait list here in Travis County. They'd be able to sign up for workforce training programs and enter the workforce and help us continue to be this thriving, growing community that is the envy of so many other cities in the United States in terms of having a great, educated, well-trained workforce that attracts employers here.
Yeah. Well, sign me up for that future.
There you go.
I'm all in. And you can also count on Workforce Solutions to be your partner, Judge, along the way to help you achieve that goal. So thank you for laying that out. I'm excited for our future.
Awesome. Thanks, Tamara. This has been fun. Really appreciate it.
This has been really great today. Appreciate the conversation. Thank you for your leadership in the county, everything that you do to support our workers, our families, the Travis County economy. You are right. We are the envy of a lot of the country, what we have here in Austin, Travis County, and it's in great part due to your leadership. So thank you.
Thanks. I have a great staff.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.